just a reminder that later in the month, when it comes to this time, we're going to be sharing before the pastoral prayer in a time of concerns and celebrations. And so if there's something you would like to lift up, we'll have that opportunity. We're probably also going to have something in the program that if you want to tear off and give to the ushers during the collection, we can pray over them as well. So that will be coming soon. We're in this series about how God wants to bless our future. And we started talking about it's a new year, a new decade, and that God wants to bless us. So we began the first Sunday of the year by focusing on what does it mean for God to bless us? And how behind every promise that God gives us, there's a premise of something we must do. And then on January 12th, we looked at Abraham in Genesis 24, sending a servant to find his son a wife, and how God wants to guide us to successful things. Then on the 19th, we focused on Noah, and how if you are going to go where God calls you, it's going to go against the grain. And like Noah, we must ignore what other people think and do what we think God's calling us to do. And then last week we talked about Esther and how God uses our gifts and our limitations to accomplish His will if we keep our hearts and minds focused on Him. Today I want to go a different route. I want to give the money talk. I want to give the money talk, but I don't want to give the money talk like maybe you see on TV. That if you'll give a dollar to me, God will bless you with $10. All right? You know, that's how a lot of TV preachers stay on TV. And it's not biblical, but there's also this prosperity gospel out there that says if you're a Christian, you should be a millionaire. Well, that's not biblical either. So what I want to do today is I want to take the Bible and bring alongside Dave Ramsey and Larry Burkett and a couple of other folks, and I want to give you 8 promises from the Bible and the premise that sets that promise up to understand how God can bless you financially in your future. So this is not about I'm going to take up another offering at the end, you know, and I'm going to try to make you feel guilty. My hope is, if you're a person that understands all 8 of these principles, you've got this insert in your program and you know somebody that needs it. You'll be able to write some things down on the insert, and if you'll share it with somebody in the next week, it will help you remember, but you know somebody out there that is living paycheck to paycheck, struggling financially, and these are the biblical foundations of how God wants to bless us into the future. And so that's what we want to look at today. Before I get into the 8, I just want to remind you of 2 things Jesus said about financial blessings. Luke 12:15, he said, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greeds. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." In other words, the bumper sticker that says the one who dies with the most toys wins, they're still dead and they don't take their toys with them. So it's not about acquisition. Your net worth and your self-worth are 2 separate things. And then the second passage is from Luke where Jesus says, "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain eternal friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." In other words, find ways to help other people so that one day when you're in heaven, somebody comes up and thanks you for what you're able to do. And so these are 2 of the attitudes that Jesus had about money and want us to be aware of. So, 2 attitudes. Now, before I get into the 8 habits of financial blessings, just a quick reminder how you approach money and what it does, how it matters. Jesus once said, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little is dishonest with much. He said, if you haven't been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Jesus said, if you've not been trustworthy with somebody else's property, who will give you property of your own? And lastly, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. I share those because money, you see, is a tool and a test. Money is a tool to help us to do God's work, but it's also a test. It's a test to show how grateful you are to God for what God has given you. It's a test to see your faith and how much you trust God with what God's given you. It's a test in your priorities and what's most important to you. It's a test in what you value. It's a test on how responsible and mature you are with what God has given you. And it's a test in your character. Managing money is a spiritual discipline. And so let's look at the eight things. Now, as I say these eight things, I'm giving you a taste, an appetizer. And if you want to learn more about them, there's all kinds of materials. Go on the internet, Google search, come talk to me. And by the way, if we can find somebody in our church who's willing to do Dave Ramsey, I will pay 90% of anybody in the church who wants to go through it. It's usually $110, which means I'll pay $100 of your $110 fee if you would like to go through Dave Ramsey. So just a little commercial there. Okay, first habit for financial blessing. You must trust God as your source and supply. What does it mean? It means your income is not your job. The source of your income is God. You can lose your job. You can lose your household. You can lose your family. You can never lose the unconditional love of God, because God is the supplier. You know, when you turn on the faucet, the water comes out. You know it's not the faucet giving of the water. It's the channel for the water to come through. And it's the same for money. How do you know when something other than God is what you trust in? It's real simple. You worry about it. Because worry is a warning light that tells you you're not trusting in God enough. In Romans 11:36, Paul writes, everything comes from God. Everything exists by His power, and everything is intended for His glory. God owns it. It's loaned to us 60, 80, 90 years, and we give it back. We don't take it with us. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, always remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. We are to be channels of God's wealth. Do you know in the last 50 years, America has given over $50 trillion to the people of Africa, and that their standard of living right now is lower than when we started 50 years ago. They don't need a gift. They don't need a hand up. They need help where they can develop their own wealth. And that's a channel that we can be. Money is like manure. You pile it up, it stinks. You spread it out, things grow. So God wants us to be wealth creators. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Second habit, I must do my work as an act of worship. Whatever you do for a living, whatever you do, you're supposed to do it for God. You're not doing it for your boss. You're doing it to honor God. You're cleaning floors. If you're wiping up things, if you're raking or cleaning the yard, do it for the Lord. Honor God with what you're doing. Whatever you do, the Bible says, work at it with all your heart. Working for the Lord, not for men. Martin Luther, the great theologian and Reformation leader, said it this way: you can glorify God by milking cows. You can glorify God by milking cows. Whatever you do, do it as an act of worship. The third habit, not surprising, keep good records. Keep good records. You want God's financial blessing in your life in the next 10 years? You want to get out of debt? You want to be financially free? That means you've got to keep track of your finances. And you say, I don't have time. I hate doing that. But we have time to worry, be concerned, struggle. Proverbs 27, 23, and 24. Riches can disappear fast, so watch your business interests closely. Know the state of your flocks and your herds. You know, back then they didn't exchange cash like we do. Often wealth was tied up in how many sheep and cows that you have. So they kept track of them. They knew how many they had. They watched over them, and they made sure they were okay. 1 Corinthians 6:2 says, on the first day of every week, put aside some of your earned during the week and use it for an offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you to earn. Number four. Are you doing okay? Like I said, I'm going through these quick, but I want to get them to you. If you want God's blessing on your finances, give the first 10% to God. Give the first 10% back to God. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord by giving Him the leftovers of your... honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income, and He will fill your barns to overflow. Why 10%? That might be the 10th question I ask God when I come face to face with God. Why not 5? Why not 15? That's what we tip our servers if they're okay. Why not 20? Why 10? Surely there's a reason. I don't know what it is. The point is, God doesn't need our money. He just wants it to represent something to us. Because you see, the purpose of tithing is to always put God first. Tithing does 3 things. It's a statement of gratitude. God, I wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for you. It's a statement of purpose. God, you're first in my life, so I'm going to give you the first part of what I've earned. And it's a statement of faith. God, I believe your promise that says, if I will give 10%, you will take care of all my needs. Let me just give you a suggestion. If you're having a hard time remembering to honor God with 10%, one of the easiest things is to go onto our website and hit online giving, and it will help you to remember, or you can set it up to take out a certain amount. About 25% of the people in our church give through online giving. Number 5, I must save and invest for the future. I must save and invest for the future. Proverbs 21:20, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Do you know in Japan, they save 26% of their income? On the average, Japanese people save 26% of their income. In Europe, it's 18%. 18% of the income of people in Europe, they save. Do you know what it is for America? It's 1% over what we make. 1% over what we make, which means we're not saving. Proverbs 13:11 says that money that comes easily disappears quickly, but money that is gathered little by little will grow. So find a way to save. Find a way to put money aside. You know, when we get a pay raise or something, what's the first thing we do? We go buy something. and Americans love to buy cars. Do you know cars are about the worst investment there is out there? The moment you drive off a lot, you've lost $5,000 right off the top. That's how much it depreciates when you drive off the lot. One car as another will get you from the place you need to be. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, had a way of dealing with this. When he first started ministry, he had a salary. No matter how much his salary increased, he continued to live on that first salary, so that by later in life, he was living on 10% and tithing 90%. Because he put his needs to the side. Number six, set up a repayment plan to get out of debt. Set up a prepayment plan to get out of debt. John Rockefeller, who was the wealthiest man of his day, the Bill Gates of his area, he said, I live by the 10-10-80% rule. 10% goes to God. 10% goes to savings, and I live on 80%. You say to me, maybe you can't live on the 80%. Then you're living beyond your measure. And some things need to change. And you need to look as to how you can change that. The Dave Ramsey course and so many other places can help you. Number seven, if you want God's blessing on your finances, you must budget your spending. What's a budget? It's a spending plan. It's how I'm going to spend my money. Proverbs 2:21-5 says, plan carefully and you will have plenty. If you act too quickly, you will never have enough. But marketers today want you to know there's this word out there that draws you like flies to honey. It's sale. It's on sale. Think how much money we save if we buy it on sale. Whether we need it or not, whether we'll use it or not, it's on sale. And what's the antidote? Budget. Proverbs 10:16, the earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. Or as Proverbs 21:20 says in the Living Bible, stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. Okay, number eight. And this is the one I hope that you'll hear well. You need to enjoy what you have. Enjoy what you have. You don't need to be always griping and complaining. You need to learn to be content. Ecclesiastes 6:9 says, it's better to be satisfied with what you have than to be always wanting something else. It's easy to get caught up in this rat race and to be focusing on things. But I want us as a church to be healthy, to be blessed. And we're going to be talking about spiritual health and physical health over the next couple of Sundays and how God can bless us there. But I have a slide. I think it's the next slide. Can we go to the next slide and see if that's it? In America, here's what most people do with their money. They spend it. They worry about it. They repay it. They save it. And then they give it. Here's what God's plan is. Dedicate it to God. Tithe it. Save and invest it. Repay it and enjoy it. These are the biblical principles of money. And as I said, this is just, I wanted to give you a taste of this so that you would understand, as we're talking about where God can bless us, these are the things God promises, and there are premises to those promises. And I pray that you will follow them. And if you're following them, you will find a way to help someone else. Late in my father's life, there was a woman that he started dating, and they became very good friends. And she was from around Beattyville, Kentucky, way up in the mountains for her. And she was a very kind person. She had a son that was about 12 that really hadn't learned a lot about life. And he didn't know about money. My dad would give him money and he'd immediately spend it. So my dad started telling him, for every dollar you put in the piggy bank, I'll give you another dollar. And over about the time of the year, he had saved over $150 with my dad's gift and his. To this day, it still impacts his life, because one man showed him ways in which we can use money to make a difference and not let money use us. Let us pray. God, I want to thank you that you want to bless us. Bless our families, bless our health, bless our jobs and our finances. And I want to thank you for the faithfulness of the people in this church to support its ministry. But I also pray we'd be good stewards, not owners, stewards of what we have. For everything we have, you have given us. And I pray that we will take steps of faith to make a difference in this world and in your kingdom. And I pray we'll be a generation of wealth creators and kingdom builders, especially over these next 10 years. All of this, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.